Good morning. Today we're going to start the sugya of Arkois, litigating in civil court. And we've been learning the halachos of Adam Hamazik, of car accidents, for the past 2 weeks. And many of the questions involved insurance, dina d'malchus l'dina, filing a police report. So that's why we're going to take a little break from Adam Hamazik. We're going to go through the sugya of Arkois. And when we finish, we will then go back and deal with our koyis, deal with insurance and suing another yid in the context of Adam HaMazik. So let's begin. The Mechaber in Simen Chavav writes, Asur lo delim b'fnei dayonei goyim uvar koyis shalahem. When a yid has a sichsuch with another yid, it is asur to litigate in front of a goy or in his court. Afilu b'din shedonin kidinei Yisrael. Even if this particular issue, you know that the dinei ha'akum, the civil law and halacha coincide, and even though the verdict will be the same, still the very fact that you're litigating in front of a goy, you're litigating in a goyish courthouse, that itself is aser. The afilu nisratu beiz ba'alei dinim lodayim b'fneihem. Even if both parties are agreeable, they've both had bad experience in Beis Din before, they both say, we'd rather just litigate in court, whatever happens, happens. Still, the halacha is, it's going to be aser. Now, the Mechaber, as we've seen, is a halacha sefer. He's not given to rhetoric. But the Mechaber continues, V'chol habol lidoim b'fneihem, anyone who comes and litigates in front of a goy, in front of a goyish courthouse, hareze rasha, he's considered a rasha, ukilu chirev v'gidev, v'herim yad b'teres Moshe ben Olav v'shalom. He's a mecharif and himagadev, he's an apikoris, a blasphemy. And herim yad b'teres Moshe. The Ramah continues, v'yesh b'yad bezdin lindoisoi ulahachrimoi, ashi yasala yad hagoyim me'al chaveroi. Besides the fact this person is a Rasha and Mechayref and Megadef, Beis Din has a responsibility to put a person who litigates in court into Cheirim until he withdraws the lawsuit. And then the Ramos Machir even more, V'chein Machirimim ha-mechazek v'yad o'elich v'nei goyim. Not only does Beis Din put a person who litigates in court in Cheirim, anyone who is mechazek, anyone who helps them, anyone who supports them, is in Cheirim as well. The Ramah is coming from this Achuvus Rivash that dealt with a case where a father and son were in court. The Rivash wrote that to them, they have an obligation as soon as they get this tshuva to that very day to withdraw the case from court and go to Beis Din. If not, the Rivash writes, I'm putting you in Cheirim. And if the people of the city don't support this Cheirim, I'm putting the entire city in Cheirim. So we see from these poskim that it is treated very seriously in halacha. Okay, good. Good. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a moment. So this is treated very harshly in halacha, other than in Hilchus Mesira, which is actually related to this. I don't think the Mechaber anywhere in Chayesh Mishpah uses such strong language. And the question is why? What is this Isser of Arkois? What's the Makar? And why is it so Chomer? So the source of the Yisr is a pasuk and the Rashi that everyone's familiar with. The Torah in the Hakdama to going through the laws of Chayesh Mishpat says, these are the Mishpatim, asher tosim lifnehem, that you should put in front of them. What does lifnehem mean? In front of who? So lifnehem means in front of the Sanhedrin, in front of Mumchem. It means in front of Beis Din. So Rashi explains, Lifnehem v'loy lifnei oivdei kochavim. That the chiyuv is to put the mishpatim, to put any sichsuf, to put any litigation in front of a Beis Din and not in front of oivdei kochavim, in front of goyim. V'afilu yodat b'din echad shein darin oisai k'dinei Yisrael. Even if you know that in a particular halacha, particular instance, the goyish verdict will be the same as halacha. Al tviyo b'ar kois shalehem. Shehamevi dinei Yisrael lifnei aramim, someone who brings a Yiddish fight in front of goyim, mechalel es Hashem, it's a chilul Hashem, Umiyakir es shem ho'alilim hashbicham. And in umiyakir alilim, you're giving the goyim chashivos. What you're doing is you're saying that we, chas v'shalom, we don't want halacha. We don't like the result. We don't think it's fair. And we prefer the goyish rules. By doing that, and by doing that in a very public way, that is considered a chil Hashem. That is called miyakar elilim. The place can say it's now bezrayu da avoid zazara, because you're literally being miyakar elilim. You're giving the avoid zazara a chashivus over the Torah. And that's why, we mentioned before, even if both parties agree to go to Arkais, and even if the verdict will be the same, it doesn't help. If the issue was simply a question of dinei mominus, that we go to Bezdin to figure out who's right and who's wrong because I don't want to be a gazlin, so then if the halacha is the same, there should be no issue. Even if the halacha is different, if we both agree we're willing to go to court, and I don't care what the halacha is, I'm willing to waive my rights, I'm willing to accept whatever the court gives me, so in dinei mominus, that should be able to work. However, since it's not just a question of money, it's a question of being mechal Hashem, being miyakar elilim, therefore mechila will not help, the fact that both parties prefer will not help, and you'll have the same iser of miyakar elilim. So now you pointed out, miyakar elilim, and if you look at Rashi, Rashi said, the iser lefnei emvoloi, lefnei oibdei kochavim. What does oibdei kochavim mean? So literally it means someone who worships the stars, someone who is oibed avoy dezara. What happens today where the court systems are not tied in with an avodah zarah? It's a secular court. It's not tied to any religious belief. Does the isser of miyakar elilim apply? So over here, one of the contemporary poskim is actually metzalik that it shouldn't. However, if you look at the Nesivos, the Tomim, the Achanu Bayaz, and others, what they all say is that the Isra Arkois is, what you're doing is, you're rejecting halacha in favor of laws that were set up from the Seichel HaEnushi. What you're saying is, I don't want the Mishpatim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want the rules that a bunch of people sat, locked themselves in a room, and decided these are the laws that will work best. So although it may not be tied to an Avodah Zarah, what you're still doing, it may not be Miyakar Elilim, but Mechal HaHashem is definitely going to apply. Because what you're saying is, I prefer a set of man-made rules over the mishpatim of the Torah. And therefore, according to Kamad all the Achroinim, it will not be any different whether it's civil law or whether it's secular law or whether it's tied to an Avodah Zarah. It's the fact that you're rejecting halacha and the fact that you're going to an alternate set of rules and litigating elsewhere. Now, this is... Isser is something which, for an attorney, can create very serious problems. Because as we mentioned, the Isser Arkois is the person who's doing the litigation. But the Ramos said, not only do we put the person who litigates in Cheirim, but anyone who's Mechazik, someone who goes to Arkois, is also in Cheirim. And therefore, if a person is litigating, a person is representing a client, or a person is assisting in any way, you're going to run into a very serious issue. Now, over here, there are some interesting halachas. What happens if a person is asked to testify on behalf of someone who is in civil court? So over here, there are more rights. So like this. If you, obviously, to lie, you can never do. But what happens if someone is in court, and you know, although he shouldn't have gone to our case, he went shaloi kidin, you know he happens to be right. Should you help him or not? So the Ramah in Tshuvas and Siman Yud Beis says no. Since the person has no business being in court in the first place, helping him in any way is being nisayeya oivdei avera, and he says therefore you should not help him. You should keep quiet. Don't get involved. And it's better to keep silent, even though the person who is in theory correct will lose the court case because he had no business being in court in the first place. Now, obviously, this applies only when the person is there shalei kedin. On the other hand, if a person gets sued in court and he's forced against his will to be in court, he'd rather be in Bezdin, but the plaintiff files a lawsuit and is not pulling it out of court. So there, adarabah, if you know the defendant is right, then it's a mitzvah to help him and to save him, and you certainly should go ahead and volunteer and testify. But if it's the plaintiff, it's a person who initiated the lawsuit, who's there shaloi kedin, there the Ramah paskins, you're not allowed to help him. Frek the Shara Mishpat, let's take a step back for a moment. Why aren't you allowed to testify? Because you're being misayah, you're helping the person do the issur. What is the issur misayah? Normally it means a person's being over an issur, and you're going ahead and you're making it easier for him. You're assisting him, you're helping him being over the issur. In this case, what's the issur? The issur is being in our koyis, being miyakar elilim. Is there any difference to this issur, whether you win or whether you lose? Absolutely not. The same issur, if you go to court and you're over there, if you go to court and you win, the same. If you lose, it's the same issur. You're being miyakar elilim, you're mechalos Hashem. It's the fact that you went to our koyis. Zok d'shar mishpa, whether you testify or not, will not make any difference in the issur the person's being over. So once that's true, if you have the opportunity to be meyed and to make sure that the person who's really right wins, said you have a chiyuv to do that. Because if you're silent, they're over issur arkois and over an issur gezel. The person who's supposed to end up with the money won't. If you testify, the same issur arkois will be the same, nothing more, nothing less. And at least you'll know the right person will win.
This is if you're going on whose side?
On the plaintiff. But the plaintiff, you know, al pi halacha, is entitled to this money. If he's entitled to it, so he says you should be meyed, and this way he'll end up with the money he's entitled to.
It's not gezel.
Al pi halacha, he's entitled to it. Now again, you have to be. It's a little bit interesting because you have to have a lot of confidence here. How do you know? Whether al pi halacha this person's now tied to the money. You're not a bakin chesh mishpa. You didn't hear this. So very often you won't know. But in a case where you're just testifying he borrowed money. So he borrowed the money, he agrees in there, he's just saying like he denied the whole thing. You know the person is lying through his teeth. You're going to testify he did borrow the money, and the courts will force him to pay. So in that case, the Shara Mishpat says, there's no misayaya, because either way, the isser is you're being over the isser, so he says you should testify. Okay, a jury is going to be. We're going to have to put that aside. A jury is going to be. It's going to be a whole different issue.
When you go as an aide, argue. Forget about Sayyeh. Are you also not being Miyaka?
Oh, very good, very good. So I said the Ramah paskins that it's also. Shara Mishpat had this kasha that what's the misayeya? Either way, nothing's changing with the issa. So the Achroinim are all Miyash of the Ramah along your lines. What they say is that. If the Isser is Miyakar Elilim, every additional Yid that gets involved to come in front of the judge, Your Honor, and start testifying, that itself is Miyakar Elilim. The Erech Mishpat says a bit differently. He says, even if right now it's not Miyakar Elilim, he says, as Halach, you're not allowed to buy something from a Ganav. Misayaya. Now, it's not really Misayaya. The thing is stolen already. But it's Misayaya because unless Ganavim have a fence, have a place to sell their goods, they're not going to bother stealing, and that's called misayaya. So zok the Erech Mishpat, if by you testifying, you're making it worthwhile to go to court. If people would realize, and word would get out, that if you go to court, no yid is going to help you, so then that will prevent other people from being over the Isser, and therefore, Lamaisa, the Ramah, and Roiv Achroinim, follow the Shittas Ramah, would say that it is usur to go ahead and to be meyed. Now, you don't always have a choice. If you get subpoenaed, you may be nanas, you may be forced to testify. In such a case, if you have no way out, and you're testifying, certainly if you're testifying on behalf of the party that's right al pi halacha, there would be no penalty. In a case where... you'll have to speak to the attorneys about that one. But in theory, if you don't show up, you can be in contempt of court. Well, it's not a lav. Again, we're dealing with at most a question of misayaya. And even this misayaya we've pointed out is not a regular misayaya. What? Again, that's one of the achroinim's terutzim in. Now, it happens to be, there's another cheshbon where, you know, again, we'll get to this a bit more detail later. But if the isser is miyak, what's the isser? Being miyakar alivim. That you're saying, I don't like halacha, I like goyish law. That's a chil hashem. When you have no choice, the guy is sitting there with a gun to your head, either testify in front of this guy, or I'm going to throw you in jail, Is that called Miyakar Alilim? Mistamana. So we're going to see, there's even a discussion, and this is a chiddush, there's even a discussion in some poskim, what happens if there's no bezdin? If there's no bezdin around, maybe it's not called Miyakar Alilim because there's no choice. So that is going to be that'll be a diyun. But in a case where you're just being called in to testify, I think there everyone would agree, it would not be called Miyakar Alilim or Chil Hashem when you're testifying under threat of contempt of court. Correct, but Abuzar Davai Dazar is very difficult when you're dealing with a civil court. If it was a goyish, if you're being called into some Islamic Sharia court, we can talk about that. But in a case where it's a civil court, where it's just al tzichil Hashem, the fact that you're rejecting the halacha and taking something else, I think it's clear when you have no choice and everyone knows you have no choice. I don't think it would be usher. The issur seems to be the litigation. Yes, sir. There is a lashon of the tshuvas in the tshuvas arif that sounds like a hazmana itself, a summons itself is aser, but I think that's a chiddush. I don't believe everyone's masking to that, but it's the litigation. Even before the psak is the fact that you're being miyakir alilim simply by submitting to their jurisdiction. Well, again, today in a practical sense, if you go to Bez and there's an arbitration agreement signed, then the courts will enforce it as it has the same tokef legally as a verdict. Now, if the person refuses to sign an arbitration agreement, there's Divrei Chaim that says you can just give a heter hakoyis. Because when a person says, I'm coming to Bezdin, but I'm not signing anything that will legally bind me to listen, he's basically telling you, I'm coming to Bezdin, I'm not listening to the psak if I don't like it. And that's the equivalent of not coming to Bezdin. We're going to discuss, we'll discuss next week, if a person is Messiah of Ladin, if he refuses to come to the Bezdin or refuses to listen, then there's a concept of giving a heter hakoyis. But in a normal case where a person will come to Bezdin and will sign an arbitration agreement, the ability to enforce it is the same whether it's in Bezdin or in court. So going back. So as far as Haggadah's Eidus, we pass them as Misayeya if you're volunteering. If you're forced, there's a Chorin no Isser. One thing to be careful of, and again, we're not going to go through the Pratim, is there's a Chuvus Chazam Sofer in Simen Chav Gimel that says what happens if you're forced to testify. You're testifying the truth, but because of your testimony, the courts are going to rule a certain way, which Alpi Halacha shouldn't happen. In other words, you're going to testify what happened. Based on that, the judge is going to throw the book at the defendant in punitive damages, knosos, whatever it will be, where halacha, it shouldn't happen. So the Yiddish Chazam Sofer says, if you're forced to testify, you're forced to testify. But he says, then it could be you have a chiyuv to the party that loses to pay him for the loss that you caused. Garmi? Now again, it's not so simple. It's an Eroshai, it's a Garmi, it's Ansu Laharos. We'll have to discuss it a different time. But at least conceptually, you have to be very careful. And if you are testifying, certainly you shouldn't be volunteering anything more than your legal responsibilities, and you have to be very careful.
You wouldn't be allowed to lie, ever. In other words, if you know that you're saying that Emmas is going to cause a certain outcome, mm-hmm. what you did, are you allowed to lie and not say that Emmas?
So there is an interesting Maram Makram that implies that you could, but it's not Negeah today. Because even the ones that say that you could say that's being made. To be made, if it's more important the result, at least out of Bezdin, than the testimony. But when there's a Shvua involved, then everyone agrees you can't make a Shvua Sheker for any reason. Today, where you swear in a witness, it's a Shvua. So, what? Okay, possibly. But Hakopanim, when there's a shvua, then there's nothing to talk about. Now, this is all by someone who's testifying. What about an attorney who's representing a client? So, an attorney that's representing a client is doing more than just testifying. Here, he is being misayaya. L'chayer, he should have a problem with lifneiver. He's helping his client be over the iser hakoyis. So I was actually once at a shir, and the shir was for a bunch of attorneys, and the Rav got up there and said, as a Dabar Pasha, there's an Isser HaKoyis, and any lawyer who represents a Yid suing another Yid is over an Isser Lifnei Yid. So one of the lawyers in the room got all upset, and he said, it's not true, because we know there's a rule, but when you're dealing with a question of Lifnei Yid, Lifnei Yid is only, according to most Paiskim, is only when you're enabling the person to do the Avera. If you wouldn't get involved, the Isser wouldn't get done. There's a Nazir, he wants a drink of wine, he can't reach the bottle, he's on the other side of the river. If you flip him the bottle, you're over an Isser of Lifnei. However, when it's Chayav Adinara, when, if he wants to, he can get the bottle himself, you're just helping him. But if you refuse, he'll find another way to do it. There, according to most Paiskim, there's no Isser Lifnei either. So the lawyer said, listen, there are a lot of lawyers around. So it's true that I went ahead and filed the case. But had I not done it, someone else would have done it. So there shouldn't be any Isser Lifnei either. So the Rav said back, he answered him very nicely. He said, it depends. In theory, maybe you're right. There are a lot of lawyers. If you hold your services are fungible, lawyers are a dime a dozen, anyone can do the same job, then I hear your time. Then there's no lifnei either. But if you walk around telling everyone that you should have seen the job I did on this jury, I mamish convinced them and I did for him when no one could have won this case. In that case, you yourself are saying it's treyav denaro. Without you, you couldn't be over the issa. So if you're bragging about how skilled you are, I don't want to hear you walking around saying there's no lifnei either. Now, it was a beautiful comeback line, but in halacha, I don't think it's true.
Why?
Because what's the Isser of Akois? The Isser of Akois, we just mentioned before, has nothing to do with winning or losing. If you go to court and you lose, you're over the same Miyakir Alilim and the Isser Akois as if you go to court and win. So as far as the Isser Akois is concerned, as long as someone else could have filed this lawsuit, it makes no difference what the result would have been. It's a question of, if he could have gotten the litigation in, then I think it makes no difference as to whether you did a better job or a worse job. There's no difference in the Isser Lifnei Iver. Now, it could be, if anyone else, the case would have been thrown out in summary judgment, it wouldn't have made it to first base, then maybe. But once, either way, there's litigation, whether you win or lose will not change the Isser HaKoyis. Okay, that just means you need a lawyer that can convince this person he has a case. Many lawyers can do that. Whether they win or not is a separate story. Okay, wait a second. That is true. It happens. This point is true. If this client, you're his attorney, and he listens to you, and if you tell him to go to file the case, he'll file. If you tell him not to, there it's clearly the favor. Because had you not told him to do it, the issue would not have been done. But in a case where he's shopping around, he knows he has a case, he's shopping around, and you take it. So there, as far as the Isser HaKoyis, if your refusal will just mean he'll go to the next person, a guy, who will do it, there won't be an Isser Lifnei either. Now, the truth is that there is one case where the concept is relevant, which is, let's say, through your talents and your skills, you end up with your client wins a tremendous award, which is more than he's entitled to Alpi Allah. So Eino Chanami, if you want to deal with the Isser HaKoyis, the Isser to litigate, there's no difference whether you win or lose. But over here, you're making your client into a Gazlan. Alpi Allah is entitled to this amount of money. You convince a jury to slap on few punitive damages and other things and additional money. So that, forget about HaKoyis, that's an Isser Gazlan. And there, that's Lifnei Iver. And if you were the only one able to get this award, then in Chami, that taka would be Lifnei Iver. But in our case, I don't think it makes a difference whether you would win or you would lose. Again, that's the same. That would be the same thing. Correct.
Even if it's not Lifnei Iver,
correct. Now, even if it's not Lifnei Iver, even if someone else could have done the same job, it still is Misayaya. Misayaya is always more kal. Especially if the person is doing it b'mezid, there are certain shittas that are mekel. If a person's parnasa depends on it, there's mokum to be mekel. But in this case, I'm not so sure any of the kulos would apply. And that is because we just read the Lashon Ramah. Ramah says over here, besides putting a person who goes to a koris into chayrim, we're menada anyone who is mechazik, someone who goes to korim. So even if in the normal gedorim of misayaya, you have a technical way out, that he's mezid, he's a mummer, whatever the chejbin is, I'm not so sure that will help for this chumra that we have in this case, that we put anyone who's mechazik and assists our kois into chayrim. Now there is another svara lahachmir. I'm not saying this lahalacha, but it's brought down in the Eruch Mishpat and the Chavadas deals with it. But I'll just say it over because of the Chav Shaboy. What's the halacha if a person hires a hitman? Kill someone. He goes, pays him the money, fellow does the deed. Who's over the Isser Ritzach? Who's the murderer? The person who hired him, or the actual, or the hitman? Hitman, why? Because even though we have halacha of shliach shadom kamaisa, if I send someone to do an Isser, or if I make a shliach to do something on my behalf, it's shliach shadom kamaisa. But we have a rule, ein shliach ledvar aver. Zakvi aruch mishpa. When a person wants to file a lawsuit, so that's an Isser Arkos. Does that person go ahead and actually file the lawsuit? No. He hires an attorney, and that attorney files the lawsuit before him. Zot v'yaruch mishpa, we have a klal, ein shlech edvar avera. That means the person that's over the Isser is not the plaintiff. It's the person that actually goes ahead and does the litigation. And therefore, according to the Eirich Mishpah, to come out, the lawyer doesn't have a question, he doesn't have a question, he is the one that's being over the actual Isser of Akos.
Isn't
there
a difference if you were a lawyer?
If the lawyer is a lawyer, he doesn't have that. 100%. We're dealing with a Yiddish lawyer, whether he's allowed to take the case. Right. Right. The Aruch Mishpat actually is mitzadeh. He makes that point. Very good. So that's why this is a tremendous chiddush, because the Isser is not the maisa. It's not like the pulling the trigger. It's the litigation. The plaintiff is the one that's litigating. This is just he's using the attorney to do the paperwork or to argue on his behalf. So Pashtus, you're right, and it's a very big chiddush to say this. As I said, it's an Aruch Mishpat. Yechavadas is mitzadit to say this, but it's certainly a tremendous chiddush and a tremendous chumrah. What? I'm saying it was from the early 1900s. So I'll call, again, it's a chumrah. I'm not saying that's the halacha, but it's at least an interesting svar.
So.
Okay, after a psak din, we'll be different. And then next week we're going to discuss whenever we have a Messiah of Ladin, when the other person refuses to come to Bezdin, there will be many cases where Bezdin will give a heter arkois. And that's something that, obviously, there's no Isser arkois in such a case. That's something that we'll discuss next week. What? Okay, fine, good. We'll get to that. Okay, so we'll discuss next week what happens when the person is Messiah, when he's not responding, what has to get done. Okay, so right now we're dealing with, for lawyers, we have a problem. Because if you want to defend a client in court, no problem. It's a mitzvah. But if you're going to go ahead and take the case, you're going to go ahead and litigate Shloi Kedin, we have a problem with Messiah, Lifneiva, we have all sorts of problems. So what's the Eitzah? The Eitzah is, stay away from Jews. Find a bunch of Goyish clients, and then L'chayra, you're safe. Not so fast. The Tashbeitz, in Siman Reish Tzadi, quotes a She'ultis, and this is quoted by the Minchas Pitim, the Oil Yeshua as well, that says the Isser Arkois is not only for Yisrael to sue another Yid in court, but he writes, it's Usser for Yisrael to tell a guy who has a Sichsuch with a guy to say, let's go to court. So he ends up, according to the Tashbeitz, it comes out that even when you're litigating against a goy, Neker Hadin, you have a chiyuv to come to Bezdin. Now, I've been sitting on Dinei Torah for many years, and I will tell you, we have never had a goy come in front of the Bezdin. So the Tashbeitz explains that the bottom line is, just like when you're dealing with a yid who doesn't go to Bezdin, Bezdin will give you a heter akois, Bezdin will tell you, just go to court because he refuses to come to Bezdin. So a goy is also presumed he is not coming in front and submitting to a religious tribunal of three rabbis to decide who's right and who's wrong. You can assume there's no way he's coming to a Beis Din, and that's why you're allowed to go to court. However, in theory, if a goy says, I'm ready to come to Beis Din, there in the Tashbeitz quotes his Shiltas, it would be usher to go and to sue him in court. Now, based on this, there's an Oil Yeshua that deals with a case where there was a Yid who was running a company. It was actually a bank. The bank's shareholders, some were Jews and some were goyim. And the issue was, there was a sichsuch, someone defaulted. And the question is, does he have to sue this Jewish borrower in Bezdin? Does he have to bring him to Bezdin? Or can he sue him in court? So the other Yeshua starts off by saying, L'chayro, according to the Sheltis, even when you have a fight with a guy, you have to go to Bezdin. So to come out, if you're the CEO of a company, which is completely owned by a guy, and you have a fight with a yid, he says, you should have a chiyuv to go to Bezdin. The only heter of the Tashbeit is, the guy is not going to go to Bezdin. If you're the CEO, you're running the company, you control it, even if it's owned completely by goyim, then you should have to go to Bezdin. Zagdal Yeshua, he says, a beautiful svara. That's not true. Why? So he's medayik the lashon of the Tashbeit, of the Shiltis. The lashon of the Shiltis is minayin sheyisrael va'akim sheyish lehem din ve'esek zem zeh she'osur loymer la'akum leich imi la'arkois. The iser is to tell a goy, let's go to court. When you tell a goy, let's go to court, you're telling the goy, I don't want to follow halacha. I like your rules better. That is our koyz, that's miyakar alila. Zakhtar el Yeshua, that's only on the yid. When the yid schleps the guy to court, or says, I prefer court, here we have a problem. But on the goy's half, if a guy has a fight with a yid, he has no chiyuv to go to Bezdin. A goy's obligation is, he has the shabbat of he has to do dinim. Dinim, he learns, is, say, have to make whatever rules they want, that's fine. The guy has no chiyuv to go to Bezdin, it's the yid's chiyuv to go to Bezdin. Therefore, Zakhtar el Yeshua, if you're representing the guy, there's nothing wrong with saying, I'm representing a guy, and the guy wants to go to court. It's only the other side, it's only the yid that has a fight with a guy, he can't tell the guy, I prefer going to court. But for the guy to say, I want to go to court, that's fine, and therefore, if you're representing the guy, that's also okay. Okay, so that we're going to have to deal with anyway, even between two Yisraelim. Basically, every contract you sign has a choice of law provision. And we have to deal with whether or not that's mutter. But even with a yid, you have that issue. If the guy was willing to write Bezdin, then according to Hezbeis, you have a problem. But again, we'll discuss, choice of law provisions we'll discuss it next week in Mirat Hashem. It's not so simple. But anyway, so what happens if there's a partnership between a goy and a yid? So there, so it comes out, on the goy's chelek, there's nothing wrong with saying we'll go to court. On the yid's chelek, there's chiyuv to go to Bezdin. So if they hear, he has a tzad to say, since the chalakim are not clearly defined, he says, perhaps, once you're allowed to go to court for the goyim, perhaps you're allowed to go to court for the whole thing. Then he says, maybe not. Maybe, first you have to go to Bezdin, and tell Bezdin that for the Jewish shareholders, where I'm going to go to Bezdin, we're going to deal with halacha. For the share that's owned by the Goyish shareholders, that we're going to go to court. So whatever it is, if the ownership is 60-40, 60% Goyim, 40% Yidin, so according to Yeshua, 40% you deal with Bezdin, whatever the psak is you follow, the other 60% you can go to Arkois and somehow work out internally what you're going to do. So Yeshua is mesupik back and forth what you have to do in this case. But he says, in the case that we're dealing with, this whole thing is not relevant. Because the case was a bank. The bank had a heteriska. The whole reason why a heteriska is good is that even though you signed a loan document, the Yiddish owners have a cheskas kashrus, that if there's any issue, the person says, I'm ready to make a shvu, I'm ready to bring edim, I don't owe you the money because of the hilchus iska, the person will go to Bezdin, and Bezdin will decide what to do. But the moment you're going to tell me, when there's a partnership between a goy and a yisrael, you're gonna take this position. They can go to court. Then he says the whole iska is worthless. The court is not going to uphold the iska. The court's going to follow the civil loan documents. And therefore, in this case, he said when you're dealing with a bank, even if it's a shutis between a goy and yisrael, you have to write clearly in the agreement that you will go to Bezdin at least for the yid's chelik. Whatever amount belongs to the goy doesn't need an iska. There's no iser ribis between a guy and a yid, but to the extent there are Yiddish shareholders that create ribbis problems, on that chelik, he says, l'kulei alma, in such a case, you would have a chiyuv to go ahead and to go to a bezdin to deal with the matter. So again, to summarize, it comes out that if you're an attorney, taking a case on behalf of a guy is generally not a problem. First of all, if a goy is suing a yid, Hal Yeshua said there's never an isser on a goy to go to court. The isser is only if you're representing a yid that's suing a goy. There, in theory, there's a chiyuv to go to Beis Din. But as the Tadish Beitz points out, since there's an umdana that the goy will not agree to come to Beis Din, that's why you're allowed to go to court. If you're dealing with a situation where the goy tells you, you know, he realizes he has a problem in court, and he says, I'd rather come to Beis Din. In such a case, according to Tadish Beitz, you would have a chiyuv to bring it to Beis Din. There'll be no, even though you would do better in court, that would not be an excuse. Now, it happens to be when you sue a goy in Beis Din, you know, we hit the goy b'dinehem, so you'll probably do just as well. But I'll call upon him, as far as where to litigate, even though it's a goy, if he's willing to come to Beis Din, the Shiltas Paskins, there is a chiyuv to go to Beis Din. Tashbeit sounds like you don't have to ask. It sounds like there's an umdana. The lashon of the Shiltas is you're not allowed to tell the goy, I want to go to court. In a case where you know for sure he is not going to go to Beis Din, where there's an umdana, he seems to say that you don't have to ask, you don't have to send a hazmana. You know, we'll discuss next week that when you're dealing with even though there's a halacha, that a messiah of loving the din, if you have a fight with a yid and refuses to come to Beis Din, so then you will get a heter hakos. There we're going to see you have to go through the motions. You have to try to get him to a Beis Din. You have to send him hazmana. You have to try. And again, we'll discuss what you have to do next week. By a goy, the Tadish Beitz sounds like you don't even have to try, since it's an umdana, everyone knows, and you know the whole takana of needing Rishus Beis Din according to the Mashal would not apply to a goy. So by a goy, pashas, you can just go. If he happens to tell you he's willing to come to a Beis Din, you have a problem. A fraya yid is going to be different. A fraya yid, most places can say you have to make some attempt. We'll go through the problem next week, but you should make some sort of attempt. And I can tell you that we've had many Dinei Torah where one of the parties is not from. Now, especially again, where you know Lakewood is right near Deal, in the Sephardic community, even people who are not from, many of them have tremendous respect for their Rabbanu, and therefore if their Rav tells them, listen, you have a fight with another yid, you have to go to Beis Din, many will listen. So, you know, you have to make some sort of attempt. Generally, Batei Din will not make you go through the whole process of sending three hazmanos. They'll just call the person, invite him, and if he hangs up on them, they'll give you a heter hakos. Okay, so we'll stop here for now, and we'll continue next week.